Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, also, just out of curiosity.
How is your Krishna consciousness, first of all?
Oh, well, I'm going to be very honest. I don't really know if I want to believe in God. I personally feel it's my stand that, you know, it's what really affects me as a person is my karma. So why not put my energy into that instead of putting my energy into something else? The law of karma is greater than the law, than any other law, right?
No, Krishna is greater than the law of karma.
Well, he insists that you follow your karma before you do anything else. So
where, why, how? Where does Krishna say that?
Well, he says, doesn't he say that you need to do your work?
He does say that in Bhagavad Gita, but that's not the ultimate instruction. In Bhagavad Gita, there are different instructions, and they're suitable for different people in different circumstances and different levels. The ultimate instruction is to surrender to him.
But what if I want to surrender to my work?
You can do, but you won't get the same result.
I don't know. I just see that I find a great amount of happiness when I help someone personally than when I do devotion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Again, it's a level of understanding. Ultimately, how much can you help anyone? You can help someone, just like if someone's hungry, you can feed them. Again, they'll be hungry after some time. Ultimately, unless we help people to get free from birth and death, then any help is superficial.
I'm talking in terms of education. Help them with education.
Same thing, education, and people with the education, they might get a job or something, but it's all temporary. Everything is temporary. As long as we're in this world, we have to suffer. So the real help is to help people to get free from suffering. Help means to assist someone to come to a better situation, isn't it?
Yeah. But I really think that if there's someone like who's suffering, I might as well offer him some sort of education, some sort of help. I mean, I don't know if I could actually tell a dying man, you know, who's dying of hunger, you know what, I think you should improve your karma. You know what, you probably should do something else instead of just, you know, I don't know if I can actually, I don't know. What I'm thinking, like, you know, when I'm talking about helping people, I'm telling, you know, in India, for instance, or Africa, the people dying, you know, I think I would rather give them better life by, you know, building them houses, giving them education, you know.
You can do that, but still they have to die.
Well,
so if you give them the education by which they don't have to die anymore, isn't that the best help?
I don't know. I think first let's, you know, I don't know. I feel, you know, I think religion is not for empty stomachs.
Why not know?
Because religion is not for empty stomachs.
That's true. It's, if people are hungry, the first thing they'll think about is food.
Right.
That's true. But, even if people are hungry, and actually there are not that many hungry people in the world.
There are a lot of hungry people.
Just like for instance, I heard that Bangladesh people are starving. I travel all over Bangladesh. I never saw anyone starving. It's more propaganda for collecting money from what I can see. The real lack in the world is lack of Krishna consciousness or proper consciousness. There's enough food in the world.
Oh, but it just goes to...
There's enough food.
Countries.
And if the meat eating was stopped, then there'd be plenty more food. But it's due to so much food is thrown away every year due to greed. Because people they don't want to feed others, they want to keep the prices up.
Yeah.
So the lack in the world is the lack of higher consciousness. It's nice that you want to help others, but you should see how you can actually help them. And even if people do have education, you see the most educated people in the world, in what are called the developed countries, they're often the most miserable. Full of anxieties. And actually, in America, there's I think it's 70% of the people get some psychiatric help during their lives. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we see in India that before they had all this development, like 30 years ago, about 30 years ago I first came to India, there were economic problems.
We were almost communist at that time.
But,
we were like in the same with the Soviets, remember? Because we could only...
Anyway, it was different to Soviet. I went to Soviet Russia also.
Oh, how was it?
It was oppressive.
Really?
Very oppressive. But now, the economic situation is supposedly better. So I say supposedly because the improvement is in buildings and cities and factories and machines and all these kinds of things. But then on the other hand, there's a lot more mental disturbance, there's a lot more suicide. A lot of young people are very disturbed in their minds. Plus there's...
But they can't give up everything and then just turn to, you know...
No, but what I'm pointing out is that your proposition just to educate people and help people in this way, it doesn't ultimately help, because the education and the development of all this kind of thing, it simply creates another set of problems.
Well, that assures the country of a good economic development, isn't it? I mean, being dependent...
Good economic development means exploitation. America is flourishing at the expense of so many... Just like the tea. People in England like to drink tea. But I've seen in Bangladesh that it's practically slave labor. The tea gardens, why is tea so cheap? Because the labor is nothing. They pay nothing. So that's their development.
Well, isn't that karma?
Karma, you mean destiny. In this sense, you're using the word karma to mean destiny. But destiny means that you can improve. If everything was completely fixed, then there'd be no question of improvement. There is destiny, but destiny is not all, you know. There's some choice also to do. Destiny means just like by your destiny, you were born in this life in a certain status, a certain position. You have a certain body and a certain intelligence, and a certain economic level you were born into. But that can be changed.
With karma.
By karma here means activity.
Activity.
But the problem with karmavad, that everything depends on our karma, the problem is that the spin-off or the side effect of activities in this world is always birth, death, old age and disease.
Yeah.
However economically advanced you may be, or forget economic advancement. What about go to the heavenly planets, Swargaloka? It's far better than anything in this world. But, alright, well, take it theoretically. There are people there, they have very long lives, very beautiful bodies, sickness is unknown, but they also have to die. And then according to their karmic result, they have to come back again to this planet and start all over again.
Well, then if they behave...
And they're in anxiety there also. So what's the value? What's the value? What's the value if you have so many, big buildings, big cars, and all the economic development, but you're not happy? What's the value? Is there any value?
I think
you might be better off to be struggling to get two meals a day, but having more mental satisfaction. But neither situation is very good.
I think you should just live simple, help people, and then die. You accumulate good.
What is the goal of life?
Helping people.
How can you help them if they also have to die?
Oh, that's just being very, like, no,
You think it's very negative, but there is a positive. There is a positive how to get free from birth and death. There's something better than just living and dying. If you think that death is the end of everything, then there's no reason to live even.
No, I do believe in reincarnation.
Yeah, so how to get free from birth and death.
Wait. I have this thing as well. Another question. I've actually not gone.
Wait a minute. Let's get the basic point first of all. Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of life?
Helping people.
But again, how are you going to help if you yourself are under the clutches of death?
So what? That doesn't mean I stop helping people.
But then, how can you help? Where is the help? What is the value of helping? If someone's driving in a car at 80 miles an hour and they're going straight towards a brick wall and you adjust the seat so they feel more comfortable, is that valuable? Is that something to help them?
No, I don't get the concept.
You know the example? The point is that we're heading towards a dangerous situation. We're heading towards repeated birth and death, which is full of suffering. So if we make the situation in this life more comfortable, and that also we can try, you can say I'm going to help, but we also, whether we help or not, that's also not in our hands. We can try to help, but we may not be able to.
But, can we, like, does that mean that we renounce everything?
But no, you're jumping with non sequiturs. You know what a non sequitur is?
No.
It means an argument which doesn't follow logically from the premise. So, it's like that. We're heading towards a situation which is not beneficial for us. And if we try to adjust that, so that on the way, as we're heading towards the brick wall, as we're heading towards repeated birth and death, we make this situation more comfortable. That's not very valuable. The real thing to do is to get free from repeated birth and death. You want to help people, you want to make them happy, is it?
Yeah.
Why don't you find out how they can be fully happy in the best possible way without any unhappiness?
I don't know.
You don't know, but that doesn't mean that no one knows. Why do you want to be happy?
I don't want to be happy.
Yeah. We don't even think of that because it's such a natural tendency that everyone wants to be happy. That tendency is there because the soul or the Atma is by nature Satchidanandamay, eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. So that tendency is there. But as long as we're in the material situation, everything here is asat, achit, nirananda. There's no full happiness. There's ignorance and there's repeated birth and death. So the tendency to be happy, that is because we are souls, but we can't be happy in a situation where there's repeated birth and death.
So whenever we get happy now, it's just temporary.
It's temporary and incomplete also.
Okay, and one more thing. Okay, and when we were, I don't know if I'm sure if this, I'm getting this right, but we were souls apparently, and we are souls. No, that thing is, which I'm saying is, we used to.
Otherwise,
see,
there's no reincarnation.
Yeah, and then we were actually servants of Lord Krishna. Is that true?
Yeah, we are still, but we've forgotten that.
And then the fact that we denied, we told Krishna that, all right, I don't want to serve you anymore. That's why we came down here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it may not be sadly that we went and told him in his face.
But then, okay.
Difficult to understand why we should give that up, that situation.
Exactly.
But the point is, as Srila Prabhupada explained,
either way, we're serving. If I'm up there, I'm serving Lord Krishna. If I'm up here, I'm serving someone else. So might as well.
Ah, yes. But the point is that Krishna, he is the natural object of the center of service and love. He's the center. So by serving him, he can reciprocate fully.
Okay.
In the spiritual world, there's the situation where Krishna is served, and Krishna also serves his devotees, and there's a natural reciprocation of love without exploitation. Whereas in this world, we try to help others, we try to serve others, but because the tendency is that everyone is trying to exploit everyone else, then that the perfect flow of love can never be there.
Alright, so how did it work? So we just selected a plan and we came landed here?
Well, the point is that if there's love, there has to be choice. We have to choose. I want to serve Krishna. So that, otherwise, if there was no choice, then it wouldn't be love. Then we'd just be programming machines, like figures in a cartoon strip or something like that. So the choice is there. So the fact that there is choice presupposes that there must be the possibility to misuse that.
So we sort of misuse our choice?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when we came on this planet, the gods revealed to us the Vedas to find our way back up.
Yeah, Krishna gives the Vedas. Yeah.
So why Krishna? Why not Vishnu? When Vishnu was the real. Krishna is an avatar.
Please try to understand one thing at a time. And try. Also, please try to understand that you can't understand everything all at once. It's a big subject. So, one advantage of being a Hindu is that you come in contact with all these things, and one disadvantage is that you get it all at once without any systematic training. So, mostly it's misunderstood.
I think all religions in the world are misunderstood.
If, just like this world history, if it's not given to you in a systematic way, you might learn some different facts and figures, but you wouldn't be able to put them all together. Just like the history of India is very complex, and it requires someone who sees the overall picture to explain it. Otherwise, if you just say, Battle of Plassey and Maratha uprising, just put a few of them without giving all the social currents, the underlying social currents, and different outlooks of the people involved, and you won't get a very clear picture.
Okay, I want to first of all, let me just ask you, this is the main reason that I brought here. Okay, who was Manu?
Who was?
Manu.
Manu, what does it say there?
Oh, well, these are the laws of Manu on the status of woman. Okay, I'll read you all of them. It says, women must be honored and adorned by their fathers, brothers, husband, and brother-in-laws who desire their own welfare. Where women are honored, there the gods are pleased, but where they are not honored, no sacred right yields rewards. In the family where the husband is pleaded with his wife and the wife with her husband, happiness will be assuredly be lasting. Day and night, women must be kept in dependence. Her husband protects her in childhood, her husband protects her in youth, and her son protects her in old age. A woman is never fit for independence. How can you justify this? I mean, this guy is clearly sexist.
Sexist is a modern term.
Yeah, but I mean,
sexist is a modern term. The people in the modern age, whose society is the biggest mess in history, think that they know better how to organize society than has been done in traditional societies.
The traditional society definitely did work out fine. I mean, we definitely had a lot of, we were like the largest economy at that point in time. We had a lot of things going right, but this is extreme.
Extreme because
it's like Islam. That's scary.
No, you just see, you put it all together. Women are honored, but they're dependent. Why is that? Can you imagine? Because they're the weaker sex. Independent woman means she can be exploited by any man. So it's to protect women that they're not misused by others, as is the norm in the Women have so-called freedom in the modern age, but they don't have dignity.
But then it's just up to each one of us to maintain our dignity, right? I mean, you can't...
You may not be able to.
Well, you try.
If forcibly that's taken away is one thing. Another thing is that the whole modern society, it promotes women as sex objects.
Well,
it doesn't promote dignity as
well. Yeah, yes, I will have to agree with that. But then what I'm saying is that
it's probably better you don't hear from me about this, because you'll think I'm just some sexist swami. Why don't you ask Subhashini Mata about this?
So you actually endorse this belief, this kind of statement by Manu?
Sure. But you think that everything you learn in the school and the way the modern society is set up, that's the truth. I don't. I see this society from top to bottom, the whole thing is a disaster. I have a completely different perspective on it.
Well, I do agree that a lot of things could be different, but I think if men and women are equal, you don't think they're equal?
Definitely they're not equal. Oh. Men don't have children. Men don't bear children. They're not the same in all respects.
But men and women are not equal?
No. When women have children, which is the natural function which women do, then they require to stay and look after the children. They're housebound.
Yeah.
So they need a man to, they're dependent upon a man to produce, to protect. In modern society, it's very artificial with contraceptives and abortion. Women don't have many children, but the natural course of events is that women have children, and that's how they're happy, actually. There's a natural psychology. Women who don't have children are not happy.
Yeah, that's true. But
so the women, their important role is not to be going out in Iraq and fighting in wars or being airline pilots and all this thing, but they have a very important service to society of looking after children. That's belittled in modern society, and the result, that's one of the reasons why children have so many problems in the modern age. And if the children have problems, they become the adults with problems.
Yeah.
So women are honored and protected so that they can perform their service of bringing up the next generation.
So you would say that you totally like...
I'm saying you better speak to Subhashini Mata. Otherwise you'll think I'm just a, what is it called? Reaction. What's it called? Male chauvinist pig.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, there are not a few, it may be surprising to you, there are not a few well-educated women who accept me as their guru, who know that I have this outlook, it's not just me of course, and accept that and are happy with that. There are others, there are some who, on taking these teachings, they've changed their lives to be in line with that.
Because they feel
it's better for them.
I agree with the fact that the mother should always be with the child. Because I don't know how I would have done that without my mother, but I do agree with the fact that, she could have done something else as well,
Well, you didn't have children yet. When you do, you'll see that you can't do anything else.
No, but I'm saying
it's a 24-hour job.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I'm saying until you had children, you could do something productive.
Well, the natural productive, having children is not productive. the natural course is that girls start giving birth quite young, younger than is allowed in the modern age by law. But that's the normal thing, 13, 14, 15. That was all over the world until recently. Nowadays they say that wrong, and it's actually all cheating, because the whole modern educational system is to make people produce for the big businessmen. So they want that the women will also be, this women's liberation means they have more people to work for their big corporations. In the name of your freedom, what freedom? To sit in an office and have all this work on your head, or to go on?
If that's what some people enjoy, then why not?
Enjoy? You think it's enjoyable? Ask how many people who wants to go to work on Monday morning, or here it's Saturday. What is it? Sunday morning. Here you have a one day holiday, is it? Only Friday.
Yeah, sure.
Ask how many people. There's a saying in the West, Monday morning blues.
Yeah, yeah.
So ask how many people have, you know, they want to go back to work. It's all cheating. All these modern ideologies have come up to make people act in a way that is conducive to big business. Just like this war in Iraq is going on with some excuse, it's all for the benefit of the businessmen.
All for the benefit of America, not for any other business people.
Well, it's not just these international oil companies, and then the defense company, what they call defense, which is a euphemism for killing people.
Yeah.
So it's all just cheating. People believe what they're taught in school. They believe what they see on TV.
Then you can't blame them for that.
Hmm?
You can't blame them for that anymore.
Well, if they're more intelligent, they'd look deeper. A few years ago in London, we had our Rath Yatra in central London, and it finished in Trafalgar Square, which is center of London. So then I was on the questions and answers booth, and then people were like, people from the public were, you know, asking questions and then like heckling and harassing and this and that. And after some time, I just lost my cool, and I said, you all think you're very intelligent, you know what you're talking about, but actually you don't know anything about the real interest of your life. You've all been cheated since your childhood by the educational system, by the TV, by your parents, by everything. We all are quiet. And someone said, he's right. In the West, at least, people understand they're being cheated. In India, people are, development, money, career. Yeah. They're illusioned by the whole thing to a greater extent, which is why so many Indians are going to America now and they're doing well.
No, I think now it's a reverse Brazilian situation where people are coming back.
They're coming back, but what I mean is like the people in America themselves, they don't have so much motivation to work hard and this and that. They can see the whole society is just cheating top to bottom. So I suggest to you that just you see this as something being horrible and imbalanced and cheating and exploiting, but first of all, try to understand or try to accept the possibility that the outlook on life that you've imbibed is one that's been fed to you. You've been programmed to think in a certain way, which is not necessarily for your benefit. What they say is for your benefit, actually it all translates into the benefit of the big businessman. And they tell you they're giving you
the
benefit.
I want to be a businesswoman.
You can be if you like. Maybe you can be, but that also, what will be the value?
So you definitely don't support Hillary Clinton. So you definitely don't support Hillary Clinton, do you?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said.
It was just Hillary Clinton.
No.
She's asking if you don't support
Hillary Clinton.
She got the nomination
You wouldn't support any other
person? I don't follow the newspapers much. She's the Democratic candidate?
Yeah.
Is that over now?
No, she's 2008.
Yeah, but she got the nomination, or they're still going...
she is one of the likely.
She's
candidates.
One. She's in line. They still didn't fix up who it is.
So you wouldn't support Indira Gandhi or Sonia Gandhi?
See, what's the use of any of them? They're all, you know, it's cheaters and the cheated. Indira Gandhi, she made so many mistakes. In the name of equality, just like the traditional, according to Manu, the Hindu, which is the Hindu law, the property of the father goes to the eldest son.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I don't know if she herself, it was during her ministry that they divided it all between all the sons and daughters. So it seems like it's good. You're making everything fair.
Yeah, isn't it?
But the result is that the culture of the eldest son being the head of the family and all the brothers cooperate with him and he looks after them and they all live on the same land together and cooperate to farm it. That broke down as a result of this. And the traditional homesteads got, you can't, if you just have a small bit of land, you can't cultivate it properly instead of having the whole family property. So then each individual will sell off their land, their little pocket, and then the families are broken up, the family culture is broken up, they all go off to the cities. So in the name of fairness and equality, actually that you're saying women are not treated equally, but there's a hierarchy is always there.
Yeah.
So there's this idea that everyone is equal. It's not true. Some people are more intelligent, some people are less intelligent. Some people are physically stronger, some are physically weak. Some nations are stronger and some are weaker. So that Vedic culture, it makes a hierarchy and trains people to act with responsibility within them. Just like you may say it's unfair, the elder brother gets everything. But then he has the responsibility, which is not by law, but by culture, of looking after the whole family. And often I've seen many times that in the family, maybe one of the brothers is a complete lout, useless. They can't do anything.
We abuse, but that's what happens in my family. My dad he's like the head, so then all our businesses joined together.
Yeah, and one of the brothers might be completely useless. But anyway, they survive.
Yeah, they survive. But then, you know, as his children, we feel like, what is he doing? I mean, he's barely doing anything and he's just living off our money.
Because he's a useless fellow.
But, yeah.
That's the culture. He should work, but if he's so incapable.
Not incapable, he chooses to be
incapable. Well, incapable means, he chooses like that. So, that's the kindness, that's the culture that comes down.
One more thing. Okay, what if this thing, the caste that we have, I'm in total agreement of that, but I have one question, is that I'm not sure if there was a free movement, you could move from being...
Yeah, you can do.
You could, right?
Yeah.
But why are they so obsessed by being...
No, the thing is that it became unnecessarily rigid. Otherwise, you find in the Shastra, there are so many
Das
examples.
And Kalidas. Tulsidas was a Shudra, and then he went on to write the Ramayana.
Yeah, Kalidas was a complete complete idiot.
Yeah.
Who became the greatest poet.
He was at Akbar's time, so what does that mean?
No, there are so many examples of in Shastra of someone being the son of a Brahmana, but being a Kshatriya, son of a Kshatriya, being a Brahmana. Like this. But generally, it was such that according to the karmic reaction, one would be born in a certain atmosphere according to the inherited psychological tendency. So you'd be born with the Vaishya tendency in a suitable place, in a Vaishya family.
Yeah.
And you're being raised in that culture is naturally you're going to be thinking like, Vaishya thinks money. Just like it said, if different people go into a forest, a Brahmana goes into a forest and thinks it's a very nice place for meditating. Kshatriya goes and thinks for animals to hunt. Vaishya goes and thinks I can purchase, sell off the wood and make a housing colony and make lots of money. And if Shudra thinks, I'll just take my girlfriend and we'll enjoy you. So the same thing, but in the same place, but they have a different outlook. So it's a natural thing that the father trains the son and the mother trains the daughter in a certain kind of, he can train in that occupation, and they take to it. But when it becomes rigid, then there's problems with that. And when the higher castes, instead of nurturing the lower castes, like a father or a mother will to their child, instead look down on them, then there's so many problems come.
But wasn't that the real thing that what happened?
That was the cause of the breakdown. Well, it's very complex, but
the
original caste system means that it's cooperation.
Yeah.
It's anywhere you'll find in any society, there are some people who are intellectuals and priests, some people who are natural leaders, some people who are money-minded, and some people who they're not capable of taking leadership in anything, but they, by their tendency, they'd be more happy digging a hole in the road than, you take the rickshaw driver making the prime minister and say that's what they tried to do, the Mao Zedong and Pol Pot, they tried to forcibly make the intellectuals into farmers. So it's unnatural. It's just the Varna Dharma, which has become known as the caste system. That is it's a systematic organization of society. But the tendency to exploit is what spoils it all.
So in the traditional India,
and in the modern society, the way it's set up. It's set up with the idea that everyone should be as independent as possible. But it makes more competition, and it makes it more... The weak can be exploited by the strong. And that's going on the whole societal level. So people think, I have to join the army and fight against Islam in America.
Yeah.
Someone wrote to me, this is the date. The danger is Islam. They've been programmed like that. The terrorists who are killing people, but they're killing literally millions of living beings every day in their slaughterhouses. So America's a terrorist country. They kill maybe thousands of cows and millions of chickens every day. That's terrorism, isn't it?
Iraq was a mistake, though.
It was a terrible political mistake, but they walked into it because they're blinded by Maya.
Yeah.
After Vietnam, after Korea, Vietnam was a worse.
Korea was.
It was a 50-50. They got half.
Yeah, it was totally. It was just a conflict between Soviet and.
Anyway, it's more complex than you'll get in your history book.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to go, is it?
Kids will come at 12:30.
I see. Do you have anything to say to them? I called you here, but I did all the talking. But this point on the independence of women, you please speak with an unliberated woman who's happy in that situation, who could have had a good career and all this kind of thing. But who's happy to use her intelligence and abilities in actually, apart from organizing the home, is doing so much in preaching Krishna consciousness.
So you would even disagree with Gandhiji when he allowed education for women?
Education for women, formal education. You see, you'll find in Vedic culture that many women are very educated, but they don't have formal education in the schools.
Yeah.
The system is that the boy goes to the Gurukul. Mm-hmm. He's trained rigidly. He comes home, he gets married. For the wife, the diksha is marriage. He teaches her. The husband teaches her. Plus, if she's in a Brahmin home, she'll automatically pick up so much Brahminical culture and knowledge and so many things. It's more of an osmotic process. You know what that means?
That's from,
it's absorb it. I've seen in Sri Rangam, you know Sri Rangam? It's the main center of Sri Vaishnava culture in South India. In one Rigvedi Pandit who's still giving the traditional teaching. People send in their children, they don't go to the government school. He teaches them Shastras. So I saw his wife, she also knows all the mantras and everything. But she never went to the Gurukul. He's running the Gurukul. But she's smart, she's around him, and she knows also. So it's a different approach to life altogether. In Vedic culture, you know, women don't have the independence they have in the present day, but they have fixed husband, fixed families. They're not going to be raped. They're honored. Modern women are not honored because they're equal. They're not appreciated as mothers because they don't act as mothers. Children, they come home and the mother isn't there. She's out of work or she's out at a party or something like that. So people don't care for their mothers. And mothers also think that children are just a nuisance.
Well, I don't think anyone would think that way.
Well, you don't know. The culture here is still better. But in the West, they'll tell, if the children are at home at age 18, they'll kick them out. What are you doing here? We looked after you long enough, get out. So the culture that you, or the culture that you are almost part of, I mean, it's almost dying, that culture, is actually there's some very valuable things.
I totally agree with the whole thing that we have. I just think it's just misinterpreted now.
Certainly it is.
Yeah, but I just think...
In the modern education, they'll definitely make a point of pointing it. They always aim at Manu. Because one thing they want to put down Indian culture.
You have Sati and you have the caste system. Those are the only two things that... And I understand why Sati was. And I totally... agree with that. I mean, it was her choice to interrupt it. But I agree with the caste system as well. My problem with that. No.
But there's in modern education from the Western world and from the English speaking people in India or there's like a.
They're just 2%.
There's
anyways.
A vendetta against traditional Indian culture.
You just say that
they always want to point out it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. They're very much against Indian culture, traditional Indian culture.
I think every culture is against, I mean, let's see, if you ask me, I have a...
Well, they don't dare to point out any faults in Islam.
Oh, come on, everybody points out faults in Islam.
Not in the educational system.
Oh, they do.
Is it?
Yeah, I've not read Islam, but if you go online and stuff, they have like, they possibly violate every law on, like, you know, mankind, mm-hmm. the human laws. They just violate
everything.
In
India they don't, because if you say one word against Islam in India, they're any newspaper, then they'll smash all the offices and beat up the journalists.
But then it just applies to us as well, like... who said Bal Thackeray? I mean, someone said something against him. He broke down the opposite.
That's
of the
true. But in general, Hindus are too tolerant.
Yeah, we're tolerant.
People say all kinds of things against him, and they just go along with it, or they don't care. Yeah,
they never actually point out how many temples they were demolished in Kashmir, but they do point up one thing that we made a mistake of the.
Not only in Kashmir, all over India. There's. One Muslim, Nawab or whatever it was, he had a practice of, he would daily do Abhishek of Shiva Lingam.
Really?
With the blood of Brahmanas.
God, we put him in one of those torture camps.
They don't teach this. But anyway, what's the use? History means a history, you have to know.
No.
I feel like she's got quite a lot of things to finish, her exams and SAT, and she's planning for many things.
What does SAT mean?
Standard Aptitude Test, but now it doesn't mean anything. First, earlier it was Standard Aptitude Test, and now it's just SAT.
Hmm. Yes. So she's quite busy.
What's that for? That's for American universities?
Yeah. Hmm. I believe in reverse brain drain, so I'm going to go there and then come back to my country. Hmm. I will come back, yeah, I will.
So she's like completely engaged in that, and she's not being able to come to the classes or keep in touch with us and all that. Mm. So what would you suggest that she regularly does? And
I would suggest that you first try to understand what is the actual purpose of life.
I try calling her once a month or so because she's quite busy with her exams and all that.
Yeah.
But it's just that I feel she should give a little more of time at home, maybe, because she's not able to pull herself out of her things. Do you suggest I give her some books, any specific books that you suggest I give her? Or chanting?
I have no books.
That traditional Indian life.
Yeah, I have that book, yeah.
Did you read it?
No. I read a bit of the other one. The Beginning Scale.
Even materially. I mean, there is no real happiness in the material world, but there are different levels of unhappiness. Simply, for women especially, if they don't have children and family, they're never happy.
No, I won't have children and family.
Children and family means if you have a career, then if you're focused on the career, then the family doesn't go so well.
Yeah, figure that out. I mean, as of now, I won't go greedy.
So we'll see. It doesn't work. Yeah. It doesn't work because family means you have to put your energy into it. And career in the modern world means you have to put all your energy into it. You can't. I mean, they give you maternity leave or something like that, but looking after the children.
I'm going to be a businesswoman, so I'm going to have all the leave I want.
Yes, you don't know what it means.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Business, the so-called independence of business means that you have less time than anyone else.
Yeah.
The business runs you. You don't run the business. And then you have anxiety 24 hours a day. That's why I see in England so many Gujaratis came from East Africa. And their parents, they came with nothing. They were thrown out by Idi Amin out of Uganda. They came with nothing, and within one generation they all had their businesses going. But then their children, the next generation, they all became professionals with 9-to-5 jobs because they didn't want to work. They saw the long hours their parents are working. Business means you have no time. You know you can't think of anything else. But, I mean, there are... One way to do it is with a husband, and then you can cooperate. Just like you see here in Dubai, the women, they have their family and they help their husband in the business. But they have to... They know the need to look after the children also. That's better if you have that strong Vaishya impulse that I must make money, I must do some business. It's better to do it like that.
I would say either become a business person or an economist. Yeah, I love economics. Yeah, you would say, like, all these people are crazy. You probably wouldn't like them to be economists. It's a good thing, right? It's a good talk to you.
Modern economy is so complex.
No, the founding father of economics was the guy who ran Takshila University.
I don't know.
Yeah, Kautilya.
Kautilya?
Yeah.
Niti Shastra, Artha Shastra, he wrote.
Yeah. He wrote.
Well, he's not the father of modern economics. Modern economics is very complex. Unnecessarily so.
Probably go find his records. Probably go find his records and then apply them.
Unnecessarily so. Who knows how long this artificial society will last anyway?
50 years.
That's what they say before the economic implosion.
No, before the environment.
If the environment doesn't collapse, if the society doesn't descend into chaos through widespread terrorism, if there isn't any time there can be economic chaos, if the oil supply goes out, then total chaos.
Oh, hydrogen.
You know, it's all dependent on so many artificial things. This whole Dubai is so artificial. If the planes stop flying and the ships stop flying, then everyone will starve in a short time. So you can't eat oil. They have oil.
They don't even have oil. They're running out of oil.
Well, in Abu Dhabi, that's running out.
Yeah, it's running out. That's why they started selling so many properties. I mean, earlier Indians couldn't, any of them, we couldn't buy properties. But they don't have anything else. So they said, let's go to Japan. And away, they don't have much of land. So they even started selling what they have on sea, the palm oil. So.
It's all artificial.
Yeah,
and when the collapse happens, you know who's going to be best off? People in Bangladesh, and they've got their little land, they've got the food is growing, they'll be better off. You'll have all your big weapons, your tanks, but you can't even run them.
You're the happiest people in the world, right?
Yeah.
You pointed that out, yeah, I remember. The second most happiest people are in India?
I don't know, nowadays, India's a mess.
I think India's getting better. So how did we manage to be the largest economy in the first century onwards?
I don't know. You're studying economics. I don't know about all these things.
They were the largest economy in the first century.
Oh, you're talking about in the past. India. Yeah. Well, that time they were following their culture.
No, I think we... Yeah.
That I wrote in that book, The Message to the Youth of India, that the French, the British, the Portuguese, the Dutch, the Spanish, they were all competing with each other to come to India.
Yeah.
There must have been some, India was wealthy.
Yeah, it was the largest economy. Then finally all of them came and they ruined. Actually, you know, I'm glad they came. It's really funny. I'm glad they came. Otherwise, the Mughal Empire, they would have converted everyone. They wouldn't have. Think about it that way. Because, I mean, not really, they went on, like, Aurangzeb, he went on converting people. Like, in Kashmir, he went on, I mean, this is what a guy told us, that he told the people that you either convert the family, you either convert to Islam, or you get your daughter married to me. That's how crazy he was. So, in that case, you know, at least they had less of a, you know.